King Henley II is the ninth of American playwright August Wilson's The Pittsburgh Cycle. The play, which is set in 1985, tells the story of King Henley II, who has returned from prison looking to rebuild his life, save some money, plant a backyard garden, and start a family. Two River Theater in Red Bank turns to Obie Award winner Brandon J. Durden to direct its latest production. Let's head to the theater now and meet two members of this powerful cast. Charlie Hudson III and Harvey Blanks, two of the stars of August Wilson's King Henley II, running through December 16th, right here at Two River Theater in Red Bank. Great to see you, gentlemen, and thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
You know, when it comes to August Wilson, both of you have done so much work in this area of this great playwright that we're thrilled that you're here at Two River to bring King Henley II to life. Charlie, you play the role of Mister. Give us a little synopsis of Mister's character in King Henley II.
The cool thing about Mister, the last time I was here, I did Seven Guitars. It was the last August Wilson play I did here. And Mister is my character from that, Red Carter's son. He's really good friends with King, and really, he's a lover. He tries to make sure that he take care of everybody, and he moves through life that way. He loves trying to do for others. He has a lot of comedy, a lot of funny little things he brings to the stage. But I love this character. It's a really cool character.
Somebody who was providing a lot of laughs the last time I saw him was Harvey Blanks playing Sheely in Jitney, and Harvey is here now. You play the role of Elmore in this show. You've done all 10 of the August Wilson shows. This character, Elmore, what challenges you with this role?
Well, the type of person he is. I am so different than the type of guy he is. He's like a hustler, pimp, you know. He uses women, and he's in the fast life. He carries a gun, a big gun. And it's taken me a while just to be able to. I didn't know guns. This is show you how naive I am. I didn't know guns were so heavy. So I'm just reflecting on the people that I knew in my life, you know, which is rich with August Wilson's way of doing things, because every character he talks about and he notarizes are people that I've grown up with. I knew pimps, and then, you know, in fact, I was good friends with a couple. And so that's who he is. He's been around. He's known Ruby forever. He's known her love affairs and her, you know, her movements through life. And he's been around the same. He knows Red Carter. He knows all those other characters. And so he's just gotten old, and he's dying. And he wants to come back. Now, it just depends on the way you look at it as to, like, the big question mark is, why did he come back, really? That's the big one. And we have these fun arguments between myself and Ruby, my love interest in the piece, as to, like, why I'm really back. She says it's for one reason, and I say it's for another. I just don't want to give it away. But very intriguing, that whole relationship between the two.
August Wilson is not only special to me because of the shows, but because I grew up not far from Pittsburgh. So that whole identity there is very important to me. And once again, this show is set in Pittsburgh. The fact that your character picks up after another show, can the audience still follow that if they haven't had the opportunity to see?
They can. It's not something that you have to have seen Seven Guitars to know. We kind of mention it throughout the show once or twice. You hear like, oh yeah, I knew your father. But yeah, the cool thing about it is with all of his plays, they stand alone. But if you have the knowledge of the previous plays, it does help a little bit. But it's done so well until you don't really need to know it. But we bring up the information for you. Yeah.
What is it about August Wilson's shows for you that you want to be a part of this so much?
It literally reminds me of my family. Family and friends, stories that I've heard growing up. He's able to take all of those things and artistically write them down in such a way where when we get on stage, it's like we're representing not only our family, but our whole community. And it's beautiful just to be able to to know that our stories actually deserve to be on stage and should be on stage. And it's a humbling experience to be able to say his words.
Harvey, the last time we spoke, you talked about how August Wilson's plays aren't just about, you know, the black experience. They're about shows that can relate to everyone. And in fact, you enjoy when the audience is mixed out there.
I certainly do, man. It's like it gives the white folks permission to laugh and the black folks permission to laugh. And so what you notice as an actor is sometimes they're laughing at the same thing quite heartily. Sometimes the black folks laugh more than the white folks, but afterwards you get to hearing the stories, the feedback, and everybody can relate to what's going on in that story, whether it's you're from an Italian family or an Irish family, black family, whatever. Everybody seems to have that uncle that's kind of awry. You got the dominant mama or the daddy. You got the figures in the family that are concerned more with money than with the familial structure, blah, blah, blah. It's a family kind of an affair with August Wilson's pieces. But as Charlie just pointed out, what is so rich about it is, for black people, is that these people, and Charlie and I talk sometimes, we have the same kinds of stories, and our people, we speak alike, we know how to use the language in such a way as the black, we can go to the black slang, we can go to the language that was we were brought up with and we heard that were familiar to our hearing. We're both college educated, so we can go to that end as well. It's just thrilling to be able to do it. At my age, it's becoming a little more difficult to learn all these lines.
I don't believe that.
He's amazing. I'm learning from him.
Exactly.
Seriously. I'm learning from you. So thank you, my friend. So that's it. The thing about it is with the language, it's not exactly oftentimes the way we would turn a phrase at home, because it's a heightened kind of a literary kind of an English. So even at speaking with the way we would speak it literally at home, there are twists and turns with August Wilson that puts it that heightens the whole literary experience. He's just a remarkable writer. He's just remarkable.
You know, both of you are veterans here at Two River Theater, and so is the director, Brandon J. Durden, and you both have worked with him on stage. What is it? He knows both of you so well. So does that make it harder or easier to deal with him as a director, because you have this relationship that you've built up through the years?
No, it's very easy to work with Brandon, and he's so easygoing. You know, he's not the type that really remonstrative kind of an individual where he, no, I don't like it, move over here, yeah. No. We spoke on this, actually, as actors. He's so easy, it makes the entire atmosphere, rehearsal atmosphere, very, very comfortable. So, and I love him, so that's...
And yet he's so intense.
He is the coolest guy ever. And I think it does help out the fact that he is an actor as well, because he knows how to speak in the rehearsal room. And like Harvey was saying, it's nothing. The rehearsal room is so much free of stress and stuff, because one, he knows this, he knows his work. Two, he knows us. And he's just able to relate. We almost have like a shorthand almost, because we know each other so well, until he can start saying a phrase like, I know exactly what you mean. And we just move on from there, as opposed to, like you were saying, there are some directors that, you know, want to take the bulls by the horn, if you will, and try to wrestle you into submission. But he allows each individual actor to find their own path, and he, you know, helps direct you through that.
Brandon also says August Wilson is love to him. Mm-hmm. I sense that there's also a love between this cast.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. It's literally like a family. August, one thing I was saying to Brandon one time was that August does such a great job of not only representing our community, but he does this beautiful thing within our acting community. It's where he has younger characters and older characters. So we always get to not only work together, but we still learn from each other. And it definitely becomes a family experience. Half the time we get out of rehearsal and we're still laughing and joking. It's like, man, we need to go home so we can get some rest. But that's the beautiful thing about it. I love these guys. I love them.
Is there a difference for you, Harvey, when it comes to playing your role on, you know, on Broadway in Jitney and then coming to local theater, Two River Theater? Is there a difference, or is it just you're so immersed in the character that it doesn't matter the venue?
Well, first of all, I consider this my theater home. You know, I can call up and John will ask me, is there something you want to do? Can we help you do something? It's an outreach that, you know, and sometimes I just come up to Red Bank because I kind of like the community. I'll go work out, you know, get me a sauna and go eat at one of the wonderful eateries around here and hang out with some of the management, you know. So it's like my theater home. So when I'm doing Broadway, I'm proud of doing it and representing Red Bank, so to speak. A lot of people came out to see the show from Red Bank, and the folks said, because we did Jitney here first before we took it to Broadway. So there's a familiarity with the Red Bank alumni, the Two River alumni, the people that's helping support the theater, and they got busloads of people to come out. And after the show on Broadway, we went out and discussed what that experience was like in New York, and just to say hello. So yeah, it's been a wonderful experience just being here because it's so familiar, and whatever they want me to do, I'll do it.
We're speaking with two of the stars of August Wilson's King Hedley II, running through December 16th at the Two River Theater here in Red Bank, Harvey Blanks and Charlie Hudson III. Charlie, I've asked this question of Harvey before, so I'll ask you. August Wilson seems to really be getting his due even more than ever now, and that's exciting.
It really is exciting. I think all over the country, everyone is starting to really, really, really understand how great of a writer he was, or is, rather, because his work just lives on. And you really just get to see the humanity and the love in his work, and seeing it on stage at different venues, no matter if it's college venues or Broadway or like here at Red Bank, you always see that love shining through. And I think that's one thing that, I mean, this country needs in general is love. And August has found a way to weave it through all of his plays, just love, community, and reaching forward. And that's something that's beautiful.
What have you learned about yourself, or maybe the playwright, or maybe your character that has surprised you during the previews?
The first thing I learned about August was that he was, for the most part, self-taught. One of his teachers thought that he plagiarized a paper, and he was like, no, I didn't. And after that, he left and basically went to the library every day and self-taught himself. And just that in itself is an amazing feat. It is an amazing feat because, I mean, we all at different times, points in our life, have people question us. But he was so in tune to what he knew he wanted to do until he didn't let that questioning of him stop him from succeeding. And then the other thing, for me personally, every time you get cast in a role, I feel like there's this little voice in the back of your head like, oh my God, I hope I can do it. But every time, especially coming here and doing August Wilson, it's like you are enough. He wrote everything there. You are enough. Just approach the work like you would approach anything else. Give it your all, and you're enough to bring it home.
You've done lots of theater. You've done lots of television. I have to bring up The Night Of, because Dwayne Reed, just the name of the character, made me laugh so much when we were watching that show. It was a terrific show. How was that experience for you?
It was amazing. It was really funny because we shot the first episode maybe like a year or so before we actually began to film the rest of it. And whenever I would tell anyone, yeah, I'm playing Dwayne Reed, they were like, no, what's your character name? I said, Dwayne Reed. But it was really funny because I couldn't tell anyone about like what was actually going to go on. So the funniest thing was my mom, after the first episode, she called. She's like, did you do it? Are you the criminal? And you can't be the one who did it. So I'm like, Ma, it's a TV show. Come on. But
how do you have those conversations with
exactly.
Mom?
Exactly. She's like, I didn't raise you like that. I'm like, I know. I'm just acting, Ma. Just acting. But it was a lot of fun. And then to hear my family back home, like, extra excited because I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. So they don't always get to travel up to see me perform. So anytime they, like with that, with The Night Of, they got to see me on TV and stuff. So it was really, I almost didn't really get the chance to watch the episode completely or my episodes completely because I was always answering the phone like, yeah, I'm about to come on now. I'm about to come on. Okay, just watch it. Just watch it. So that's a beautiful thing. I love to hear the joy and stuff in their voices and see them on Facebook to look at my son. He's about to do this. So it was a humbling experience to say the least.
One of the stars of The Night Of, Bill Camp, who was a guest on a Sports Jam, a great guy, and he loves sports. And Harvey, I know you love sports. You were a swing back at the University of Washington, and the last time we spoke about how that whole thing unfolded. So I'm going to invite you to listen to that interview. Go online and make sure you check out Harvey Blanks. But football's still part of your makeup? You still watch the game? You still enjoy it? You look in great shape, by the way. You could kick my butt. I know that.
No, you're a big guy. I wouldn't even try it. But, you know, I think I mentioned it when last we spoke. I'll watch it, and I'm not into it like the University of Alabama brother right here. But I enjoy watching the playoffs, and boy, that's just about with any sports. But I haven't watched very much this year because I've been occupied with theater and trying to learn lines and things like that. And I take it home with me, actually. I'll do theater and when I'm working and then take it home with me so that I can try to absorb the words and whatnot. But I'm not as into it as I used to be. Of course, I was performing then in another venue, another totally different life, actually. I showed Charlie one of my old pictures. I looked 13, and I looked at it myself. I looked at it when I was showing you. I looked at it, and I said, "What? That's really me." I just couldn't believe that so much time has passed. And that was once what I did and was hoping to be carry on as a professional. But, you know, things happened. And so, yes, I still love the sport, but I don't get a chance to watch it very much anymore.
He almost got there, folks. If it wasn't for some circumstances with coach and racism that was going on at the University of Washington, he may have had a dual career as both an NFL star, because we're certainly glad that you chose acting as your... Speaking of the fact that you've been in all this Pittsburgh cycle of his shows, you better than ever can speak to how they all come together. Can you give us a sense of what it all means together?
Yes, the historicity is wonderful. He takes us from Gem of the Ocean, which is about basically coming to this country, crossing the Atlantic, the number of the millions of people really that was or lost in that passage over from Africa to here. And it takes us on through the 1900s on up through today. I mean, this one is 1985. So it covers all this, the decades and the historical aspects of it, and I think a lot of designers love August Wilson because you actually get a chance to do period, you know. And a lot of times they don't get a chance to do that, specifically with black shows. So I've watched the maturation as I began to do them all, and it makes you read, and it makes you remember, because we forget. And we're frivolous at times with the fact that we live in a great country, man. We, you know, and I'm just frightened right now. I'll throw it. I've always been political all my life, but I love democracy and all its lurid, all of its brightened and heightened forms. I love it, you know, and I love to argue, you know, the didactics of it. I think August steeped himself within the very nature of black humanity to such a degree that you cannot turn away. You have to look. And sometimes it might be disturbing. Sometimes the language might be disturbing to white folks. Sometimes the use of the word nigger is used to the disdain of many black folks. But he doesn't pull any quarter. I mean, he lets you understand and lets you see that there is a rich and full, voluminous culture relative to black people, and that black people in America have lived and thrived and have contributed. And we should all look at that in the sense that we have something special in this guy that has left that legacy, and it teaches us all, and we should love it, and we should love each other. And that's, I think that's what he teaches.
Before we let you go, what would you like to say about the rest of the cast here for King Headley II, Charlie?
Oh, one, the cast is amazing. This cast is amazing. I think they would just love everybody to come out, enjoy themselves, try to follow along with, like what Harvey was saying, the love that is there in the play, and to see that when they see these different characters on stage, some who may carry a gun, some might have a knife, or whatever the case may be, that's not their go-to. That people have to do different things to survive in different situations, and that these are just people that love their family. And just trying to make the community a better place.
When does Charlie Hudson III come down from a show? Do you come down before you head home, or are you home still thinking about the show during, you know, an intense run? What are you doing?
Charlie never comes down.
You kidding? That's a good question, and I think he answered it right. I never stop thinking about the show. I even have dreams about the show sometimes. Actually, one or two of the things that I thought that we tried out the other day in tech rehearsal, I had a dream about it. I was like, oh, that would be really cool if we did this. I don't want to give it away, but we went and tried it. And Brandon actually liked it. It was like, yeah, let's keep that. And that's another thing that you can tell about a really good work is that it just stays with you, especially while you're working on it. And the more you do it, it just seems like it just gets deeper and deeper, marinates within you, until by the time you close the show, you're like, damn, I wish I could do it some more now, because I figured out even more things to go along with it. But that's the biggest thing that I like about it, is staying as immersed in it as much as possible, so I can continue to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And you, with August especially, with all plays, you hear different things every time you either read it or you're listening to it. But I find with August Wilson, no matter how many times you have done a show, you come back and start doing it again and you hear something totally different. You're like, oh my God, I didn't realize so-and-so said that. Oh, and that might be calling back to this play, or that might be calling back to this thing. And it's so informative until it's just like a constant scene study, constant play study all the time.
So August has the ability to come back and he comes right over my shoulder right now. What do you want to ask him?
Oh, wow. Man, I have so many questions. I don't know what to ask.
Really? What a question.
That is a great question.
What would you say?
I guess, you know what? What would his next play be? That would be a... what would his next play be? And what does he think about the political life in America right now?
Harvey, I'm going to let you have the last say. Then, what would you like to ask August?
The same thing. What are you thinking about what's going on now? And what would you say about our participation in this drama that we're all involved in now? That would be very. I'd love to ask him that question. And we were talking the other day, myself, Steve Henderson, the renowned Steve Henderson, Stephen Henderson. And we were talking about saying, man, it would be really something to see that next product that he would or could put out. So that's it. I totally agree with Charlie.
One thing I can say is that I never met August Wilson, but I can tell you this. As he's looking down on Harvey and Charlie, he's very proud, and he's smiling of the work that you guys have done through the years in producing his plays and being stars in his show. So we know that at least you're giving us his voice in an unbelievable way, and I am thrilled to be sitting here with both of you. Charlie Hudson III and Harvey Blanks, two of the stars of August Wilson's King Henry II, running through December 16th right here at Two River Theater in Red Bank. Don't miss it. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. It was great.